Good morning, church. I love the chatter of God's people. Good to have you here this morning. I asked last week, I want to ask again, but y'all know I'm kind of going through the Psalms, and for Lynn, I know some of you are doing that with me. Wednesday was Psalm 37, and there's a verse that jumped out to me, and it says this: delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Well, here's the thing. What really struck me is we like the second half of that passage, that verse. He will give you the desires of your heart, and we focus on that. But it says, delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. So what's he saying? The psalmist, I believe, is saying, press into God, and so the desires of your heart are the desires of His heart. You see how it works? When we are not pressing into the Lord, sometimes the desires of our heart don't line up with the desires of God's heart. So part of pressing into Him is what we're doing right now, worship. Yes? So let's do that. Let's invite the Holy Spirit into this place. We want to welcome our live stream worshipers as well. Let's pray. Jesus, You are so good to us. You love us. Would You communicate that love so clearly today as we lift high Your name, the name above every name, Jesus. Pray that You'd send Your Spirit in this place. Father, we come in here with all sorts of things running through our mind, maybe perhaps even things heavy on our heart. Whatever is going on in our lives, God, we pray that You'd meet that special need in our life. We delight in You. We press into You. And we love You. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Rise if you are able. Let's worship.
Sing with us. Thank you. be seated. If you will go with children, you are dismissed to Miss Teresa over there by the door for our children's church.
Good morning, church. Do you have a story to tell? A precious story of what Jesus has done in your life, in your family's life? Gosh, I've got one. I'm not going to tell it now, but I've got one. I'm grateful for that. Well, good to see you this morning. I want to encourage you to go ahead and check into this service through our app, if you have that downloaded. There's an insert in your bulletin that says ministry opportunities, and these are areas of ministry where we need servants to get plugged in today, if possible. This isn't an all-inclusive list. We've got another six or eight in which those ministries or servant opportunities are fully staffed, if you will. But we got 14 on this list, and we're going to walk through this list slowly over the next 4 weeks today, plus another three Sundays. And you can see there's little blurbs about the needs in each ministry. We're going to have people speak to those ministries, three or four different ones every week. So this morning, Carlene is going to address the children's ministry needs. If you want to come up, Carlene. Brent's going to speak to the youth ministry needs. Brent, thank you. And Naomi Wood's going to speak about Operation Christmas Child. So.
I know. Good morning. So I'm going to be talking about children's ministry, and our children's ministry is for kids nursery through fifth grade. And so there's always there's all kinds of needs, always working with kids because we want all of our kids to be safe and have fun and do lots of fun things. So as you can tell on the list that Billy has talked about, there's three areas that we're looking for some helpers with. And the first one is to help in children's church. And that's during this time. We take the kids out and they go upstairs or downstairs and we divide them into groups. And we're looking for leaders that would be willing to teach one Sunday every 6 to 8 weeks. And when you do the math, it's about 6 to 7 Sundays a year, which is not a huge commitment. But we're looking for that. And then we also do our check-in desk out front where the kids check in. Every Sunday morning, get a name tag, and the parents get a tag, and it's for safety and protection so that we know where all of our kids are at and who the kids are. And so we're looking for smiling faces that would be able to greet all of our visitors and new families that are coming into our church. And then on Wednesday nights, we need a small group leader, and that is starting in the fall, but we're already making plans for the fall because summer's going to be here before we know it. VBS is coming, and summer's coming, and fall's going to be here. So we're looking for a small group leader to start in the fall. So those are the few areas that we have needs right now within our children's ministry. But I got to thinking about what are some reasons to volunteer for our kids. So I've got 5 reasons. The first one is you get to have snacks. You can have all the snacks you want. Jeff does not pass out snacks during church, but you can have all the snacks you want, okay? We sing fun songs with lots of motions and lots of jumping around, and the kids are having fun. We get to make crafts with glue sticks and glitter and all the fun stuff. So you can always make a craft, and even y'all can make the crafts. That's always a good thing. We play games where the kids are doing memory games or playing with Play-Doh. We love Play-Doh, so we play with Play-Doh. And then we always teach them about Jesus. And they learn Bible verses and the Bible story, and they learn God's truth. So we're asking who will serve in our children's ministry.
Well, we don't have snacks. I mean, however, we were talking back here, Jeff. Maybe we should start snacks for church. That does sound pretty good. So, snacks for church sounds great. So, my name is Brent Aiken. Y'all have probably seen me up here. If you don't know, I'm also the youth pastor. And so I spend a lot of time with the junior high and high school in this church, and then just in the community as well. And one of the things that me and Shauna, our other youth pastor over here, is we are wanting to find some help. And particularly, we are wanting to find some help with Sunday school. And it's not necessarily you go in and you teach it and you do your own thing, but we want people to come alongside us and just help with the process of the discipleship of these students, as well as also just getting to know them and having more faces from our congregation be a part of the lives of the high school and junior high students that we have on Sunday mornings. And so how that kind of plays out is me and Shauna still do the teaching, but we all meet together. And so right now we roughly take turns. I teach for about a month and a half or 2 months. She teaches for about a month and a half, 2 months. And we just kind of go back and forth. And so as far as that, we are looking for people that would help maybe lead small group discussion after we do our lessons or after we teach. And then just work on basically having more opportunities for our church to love on the junior high and high school students that are a part of our Sunday school classes. And then that's our big deal. We do occasionally also have need for Wednesday night volunteers, but as of right now, we are good on that one. So if that is a longer term thing, and we are always looking for interested people in that as well for future. However, this Sunday school idea, we would like to find couples that can be committed to coming and just youth being a part of their Sunday morning routine. And if that's a couple groups, maybe we can work out a rotation schedule. If that's one family that just wants to dive in and be there every Sunday, that's awesome too. We are kind of building this as we fly it, and so we are open and we're down for different ideas on how we get this done. But our goal is to have more families involved and more interaction from our congregation in the lives of the students that we have in our ministry as well. So,
and I'm going to talk about Operation Christmas Child, ways that you can be involved. But I feel led to say, as a volunteer with children's ministry, Carlene and Teresa and Linda do an excellent job of having everything ready for you. Like, it's so easy. They just have the lesson prepared. They have all the supplies you need prepared. You just walk in and you feel so equipped. It's just, it's not a challenge at all. They make it so nice to be a volunteer with them. And youth, we have some really great youth kids. And so if you just need some kids to make you feel young, like, it's a great opportunity to spend some time with some of our young youth that, I mean, not only are they great kids, but they just have, they're just fun to talk Bible with. So if you would want to take that opportunity, that they're just really, really, we have great kids in our church. Operation Christmas Child, you've probably heard me talk about it before. We pack shoebox gifts for kids, and it's not really because kids need gifts as much as they need the gospel. So every shoebox we pack is a child who will hear the gospel, and it's a tangible way of showing them that Jesus loves them. And so that's why we pack shoebox gifts. When we collect donations for Operation Christmas Child, we use that money to buy items throughout the year to pack in shoeboxes. So this year, we are planning to pack 600 shoeboxes as a church. Woohoo! I know, it's a lot. It's a lot of boxes to buy supplies for. So with that, I kind of am always looking for deals, and some of you might be shoppers who you love, looking for clearance specials and stuff. This is a reason for you to go out and shop. I hit about $10 generals in the last 2 days because they had these Valentine stuffies on clearance for like $1.50. And so if I can buy things like that, it helps us to be able to pack more shoeboxes. So if that is something that sounds fun to you, the other thing that I could use help with is sometimes just organizing. We have to get all the items prepared, so it's taking tags off. If I buy 100 Barbies, I'm unpackaging 100 Barbies. And you know how some of those toys, they have the twist ties and the things you have to cut and all the things. And so just helping to get our things ready for packing and also organizing our packing parties. So the first one will be Vacation Bible School. And we set up tables and we have everything organized where people can just come through and pack. So we have a lot of fun. People who've helped me before, we visit while we're taking toothbrushes out of packaging, and it's a fun time, and it's just fun to get to prepare all these gospel opportunities. So the 600 shoeboxes we pack this year, that's 600 children who will hear the gospel. And so if you'd like to come alongside us and help in that process, that would be great. Just let me know. Thank you.
And Naomi, don't be disappointed if men aren't lining up to go shopping at Dollar General. Lowe's or Home Depot or Harbor Freight, maybe, but I don't think we can put saws in the shoe boxes for the kiddos. Well, like I said, we're going to have this insert in the bulletin for the next three Sundays. And if God stirs your heart about getting connected to any of these, I encourage you to fill out this insert. You can put check boxes by the ministries you're interested in. Put your name, email address, and phone number on the backside. Slip those in our offering boxes. Or you can scan the QR code at the top of the front page of the insert, and you can fill out that form online, and we'll get in touch with you. I want to remind you the next Sunday is Spring Forward Sunday. Set our clocks ahead an hour. Moaning and groaning for sure. Told the early service, if Carly and I forget to do that, just start without us. We'll be here at some point. But that's next Sunday. And then spring break is that week, so the office will be closed from the 9th through the 11th. I'm sure most of you are probably aware of the situation in the Middle East, the military campaign that started in Iran. I want to pray into that, pray for that region, pray for safety for the military personnel from the United States and Israel. Also pray for protection for the Arab nation. There's some retaliation going on there, and I don't know if there will ever be peace in that region until Jesus comes back. Looking at Scripture, we're told to pray for the peace of Jerusalem for sure, so we can do that. But I'm just going to be bold and ask the Lord for peace to settle in that region. Pray for protection for people, and pray that God is glorified and that Jesus becomes known in a deep and profound way. So pray with me. Father, I thank you, Lord, for you being a supernatural, sovereign God. Nothing escapes your notice, Father. This incident, this military campaign, did not catch you by surprise. And so, Father, you've already got an outcome designed here. And, Lord, you're so gracious to allow your children to engage with you in prayer in such a way that you're glorified in that outcome. And so, Father, we pray sometimes our connection with you is veiled. Father, I just thank you for when you give us grace and when we pray outside of your will. But, Father, we want to pray into that situation this morning. Lord, I ask for supernatural protection for our military personnel. Some of them lost their lives in the last 24 hours. And, Father, I pray for protection for them. I pray for that for the Israeli military as well. And Father, I pray for the Arab people that are caught up in the crossfire, so to speak. God, I just pray, Father, that you divert those missiles away from populations. Lord, just make yourself known where supernatural things happen in such a way that people comes to the conclusion that you actually are real and that you care for people. Lord, I pray for protection. I pray for the people of Iran, Father. I pray that God, that there'll be peace there. And Lord, I pray for the Christians, the Iranian Christians, Lord, that God have been persecuted so heavily. Lord, help them to be bold in their witness. God, again, pray for the Arab neighbors. Lord, I just pray that you be with them and guide them, protect them as well. And Jesus, it's not unlike you to make yourself known in these types of situations. We all heard stories about you coming to the Arab world in dreams and visions, and so I pray that you do that. Would you bring hope to people that may feel like they have no hope? As a matter of fact, Jesus, you're our only hope. And so, Lord, forgive us personally when we trust in things more than we trust in you, when we struggle with hope. And Father, I pray against the evil in that region. Ephesians 5:16 mentions that we need to be wise because the days are evil. And so if they were evil in the first century, my goodness, that's multiplied a number of times in our day. So Father, I pray Father, against evil. I pray against the evil one. I pray against the one who would come to steal, kill, and destroy. God, I pray that his activity, God, is thwarted. I pray that his plans, Father, don't come to fruition. Lord, do battle on our behalf in the spiritual realm. And Father, we do pray for the peace of Jerusalem. But Father, I don't know. I know what Scripture says, God, but we pray for peace in that region. We've seen that sometimes in biblical history. We pray for that again. Oh, Lord, we love you and we trust you. I pray for the leadership of our nation, the leadership of the Israeli government. I pray for wisdom for them in the days to come. And we love you. Thank you for who you are. And God, I thank you for opportunities for us to serve you. I thank you for you creating those. And Lord, you've given all of us in this room gifts of some sort to serve you. So, Lord, I pray that you fan into flame those gifts. Father, I pray you stir up those gifts in us. That we just can't be still if we're not about your business. So, Lord, use us for your glory. And we pray the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. If the Lord stirs your heart to give this morning, our giving options are on the screen. Offering boxes are by the doors. If you need prayer for anything this morning, you can fill out a prayer request card and drop that in the offering box as well. You can connect with people that'll be available for prayer after the service. You can seek me out, seek our pastor out, seek out someone you trust. And let's do business with the Lord this morning as we continue to worship him.
Oh,
Good morning again, church. Glad that you're with us worshiping this morning. If you are our guest, we're especially glad you're here. There's a seat card in the seat pocket in front of you with a blue stripe. Says guest registration. We'd love for you to fill that out. I'd love to meet you if you bring that. I'd love to meet you. Have a free gift for our guest at the end of the service. It's not a car. The gift is, but we're working on the cars. But I would love to meet you. Maybe you've been coming for a little while and we've never kind of gotten on record in our role. And I'd love to meet you and get to know you a little bit better as well. Turn with me if you would to Psalm 51, and hold your thumb there a second. Psalm 51. Now, so this is a Psalm of David, and I want to set the stage. But this, what had taken place in David's life leading up to this Psalm, I'm going to hit this pretty quick, but God found David to be a man after his own heart, and that's interesting considering the path that David followed, a man after his own heart. He was selected last out of seven brothers to be the future king of Israel. David was anointed by the prophet Samuel to anointing him as this future king. And it said this, it's interesting, when he anointed him, it said the Spirit of the Lord came upon David in power. So the Spirit was on David in power from his anointing. David, if you grew up in the church or came to VBS when you were a kid, you learned the story of David and Goliath. That's probably the most famous story for David. But so he slayed Goliath, and he ended up was kind of Saul found favor with him after that, and he was in the army, and they would go out into these battles. And it's interesting, they were coming back from a battle, and Saul was the current king, and he was kind of he wasn't a good king, was not doing right in the eyes of the Lord, and was jealous of David. And listen to this. So Saul, the king, and David, they're coming into the city after this great victory, and here's what the crowd was chanting. Saul has slayed the thousands, and David the tens of thousands. What do you think that did for Saul's ego? He was not happy with that. So Saul began from that moment, even before, he started seeking to kill David, had David on the run, and all sorts of things were going on there. David actually had an opportunity to kill Saul, and he spared his life. Saul is ultimately defeated in battle and takes his own life. So this brings David into the throne. God placed him as the king of Israel. And then David, he has it all, okay? He has God's favor. He's the king of Israel. He's living in the king's palace. He has all sorts of blessings in his life. And he goes up on the roof one evening, and he sees this beautiful woman, Bathsheba, bathing across the way. He ends up having an affair with Bathsheba. He ends up impregnating her. And then when he couldn't get her husband back in to cover up this pregnancy, he had Uriah, Bathsheba's husband, killed. Sounds like a man after God's own heart, doesn't it? So God is obviously not pleased with David over this, and he confronts him. He sends Nathan, the prophet Nathan, to David, and Nathan tells this story. You can find this in 2 Samuel 12. You can read the whole story. I'm just going to summarize it, but he tells this story of these two landowners. One was a very rich man. He had also this massive estate, and he had massive herds of cattle and flocks of sheep and so on. He was very rich. And there was another poor farmer that he had one little ewe lamb. That's all he owned. Now, he loved this lamb obviously. The scripture tells us that he raised the lamb, it grew up with him, it shared his food. Anybody else feed their dog from the under the table? He shared his food, drank from his cup, and even slept in his arms. This was a precious little ewe, lamb, for this poor farmer. And Nathan goes on telling the stories. A traveler came needing nourishment, needing to be cared for, and he went to the rich man, and the rich man refused to take from his own massive estate and sacrifice one of his animals to feed this traveler. Instead, Scripture tells us that he took the little ewe lamb and sacrificed him. Great guy, huh? And David, Nathan's telling this story to David, and here in 2 Samuel 12, verse 5, it says this: David burned with anger against the man and said to Nathan, "As surely as the Lord lives, the man who did this deserves to die." Nathan looked at David and said, "You're the man." Ooh. David is confronted with his sin. He was an adulterer, and he was also a murderer. The son that was conceived in this adulterous affair ends up dying. David has God told him that you would never have peace in your household again, and that proved to be true. So that's the stage for Psalm 51. David has been confronted with this sin in his life. So let's pick up Psalm 51, verse 1. These are the words of David crying out, "Have mercy on me, O God. According to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions, wash away all my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sins." Do you hear the desperateness crying out? "For I know my transgressions and my sin is always before me. Against you and you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are proved right when you speak and justified when you judge. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Surely you desire truth in the inner parts. You teach me wisdom in the inmost place. Cleanse me with hyssop and I will be clean. Wash me and I will be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquity. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will turn back to you. Save me from blood guilt, O God, the God who saves me, and my tongue will sing of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. You do not delight in sacrifice, or I would bring it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your grace and your mercy. Holy Spirit, would you come? Would you speak? Speak in power and transform our lives in Jesus' name. Amen. So some of you guys, girls can get dirty too, but some of you guys, I know for sure I can probably relate to this, but the little boy, and he's out playing, and he sees a mud puddle. And that's a bad combination, little boy and a mud puddle. And he begins to, he starts out small, he steps in the mud puddle, and then he begins to jump and splash, and then he realizes he's getting mud all over him, so he begins to try to clean himself up with this muddy water, and he has mud everywhere. And he's thinking, mom isn't going to be happy. And so he tries to clean himself up, and it just couldn't get it done, and he ends up going in to talk to mama. Here he is. You see that down at the bottom? I can't fix this. We should come to this place in our lives when the Lord makes our dirtiness, he reveals that to us, and we try and try and try to clean ourselves up, but we must come to that place where we understand, I can't fix this. His mom, by the way, his mom didn't hand him a wash rag. His mom ran a bath. And Reuben told me his mom would have taken him to the car wash, right? So you must have got a little dirtier than I did, Reuben. I can't fix this. We must come to that place. We're continuing this sermon series through the Psalms, 40-day walk with the psalmist. And today's message, a heart restored. Psalm 51, a heart restored. So what can we learn from David's story in this psalm where he's been confronted with the terrible sin in his life, and he knows that just like that mom, that little boy walks in, he's not going to hide that from his mom. She's going to see his need. Well, first of all, God welcomes a broken heart. God welcomes a broken heart. You hear David being confronted. You are that man, Nathan says. You're the man. He deserves death. That's you. And so David, being confronted with his sins, he begins to cry out to God. It's the only place he knows to go. It's the only place he knows can fix it. Have mercy on me, O God, he says. Blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin, for I know my transgression and my sin is always before me. Against you, and only you, have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. So David he's recognizing that his sin with Bathsheba, really his sin overall, but certainly this sin with Bathsheba's situation has been exposed, and he cries out to the King of Kings. He may have been the King of Israel, but he needed to cry out to the King of Kings. He doesn't make, in that moment, he knows he's caught red-handed. He doesn't make excuses, but he knows who to go to. He appeals to God's steadfast love and mercy. You know, that's what's, God doesn't, when we come to him in our brokenness, God doesn't shame us. He doesn't scold us. He embraces us. I was thinking about switching over the parable of the prodigal son. When he's returning to the father sees him coming down the road. And remember, the son doesn't say anything about he cleaned himself up. He'd been feeding the pigs. He'd been in the pig pen. He's running home to the father, and the father embraces him, runs down the road and embraces him. Even in his filth, he embraces him. Can you imagine that picture of that little boy? Most moms are smart enough to just go run a bath. But can you imagine that picture of that mom just coming, getting down on her knees and just hugging that little muddy boy? It's okay. It's okay. We have to come to that place where we know we're confronted with our sin and where we're not afraid to confess it. True repentance, and we don't even, really our culture, we don't even like that word. We don't like repentance because that would indicate that we have something wrong in our lives. It's called sin, but we, in our culture, we don't like that word. We don't want anyone telling us that we're broken, that we are in need of a Savior. But true repentance begins when honesty replaces defensiveness. We, instead of making excuses like, well, it was, you know, even going back to the garden, you know, Eve says, it was the serpent. And Adam says, it was her. Everybody's they're deflecting onto someone. It's somebody else's fault. None of them stood tall and took the consequences. We must come to that place just like David did, where we recognize that our sin has been exposed, our brokenness has been exposed, and we cry out to this God. And I say it all the time, you don't have to be fearful to cry out to God in your brokenness, because He loves you. He wants good things for you. He wants to embrace you. That is an awesome God. When we come to that place, that moment, it's a life-changing deal. You can't, and this is a little sentence that came to me, you can't heal what you won't reveal. And I would say that, let me say that a different way. God can't heal what you won't reveal. We must confess. We must come to Him. Just like David, have mercy on me, Lord. I know I've sinned. Have mercy on me. Wash away my iniquity. And when we do that, so leaves a second point. When we do that, God creates a clean heart. He runs a bath. He runs a bath. And if we need to go to the car wash, Reuben, He takes us to the car wash. So David cries out to God, and he's confessing that he's a sinner, and then he asks God to do something in his life. He says, cleanse me, wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Create in me a pure heart, O God. Renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. So it said earlier when he was anointed that the Holy Spirit came upon him in power, and something has impacted that in a negative way, and it's called his sin, his brokenness. He said, don't take your Holy Spirit from me. I need you. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. So I love that when we are in right relationship with the Lord, we should be joyful. I say this all the time. And y'all know I'm a goofball and a goober, but I just, why should those outside of Christ have all the fun? I mean, people should look at us and go, what's that dude so happy about? What's that girl so happy about? And something had impacted that for David. His sin had impacted it. He's saying, give me back the joy of your salvation. I've lost it. I've lost this relationship with you. Create in me a pure heart. Restore the joy of your salvation. He understands that sin is a heart problem. And to get past that is not about behavioral modification. It's not about reading the right books, self-help books, and all that stuff. It's about crying out, Lord, help me. I need forgiveness. Create in me a clean heart. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. It's about heart transformation, crying out to God. And I say this all the time, but again, only God can do that. I can't cleanse your heart. Pastors, we got several retired pastors in our church. Pastors can't cleanse your heart. Pastors can't heal you, your brokenness. God is the only changer of hearts. God. So we must cry out to Him. When we've lost the joy, if we struggle with joy, God is saying, cry out to me. Cry out to me. Because I want to restore it for you. John, in 1 John, he says it this way, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just and will forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. God is the changer of hearts. God is the healer of hearts. And then finally, number three here, God uses a restored heart. It's not, when God heals us, when God changes us, when God restores us, it is not just for us. Did you know that? Listen, David, so he's crying out. He's saying, have mercy on me. Don't cast your spirit from me. Restore to me the joy. So he's saying these things. And then he says, and then I will teach transgressors your ways. When you heal me, I'm going to tell people about it. My tongue will sing of your righteousness. My mouth will declare your praise. You do not delight in sacrifice, or I would bring it. You do not pleasure in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a broken and contrite heart. To be healed is to share. When God's mercy and grace, when he restores us, he also sends us. If we're, y'all, it was a few years ago, does anybody still have their ticket to heaven? I did the sermon on it. Some of y'all. You still got yours, Joan? It was sarcasm that we think that to be forgiven and to be saved is about getting our ticket to heaven. I'm in. No. It's not just that. I mean, that's a great benefit to get to spend eternity with him. But it's so that we can declare his praises. What he's done for us, he's also done for others. Restored people become witnesses of the goodness of God. At least we should. So to close out David's story, God indeed does forgive and restores David. He goes on and reigns over Israel to the end of his life, his natural life. And yes, his family, there was turmoil in his family, but listen to this. Solomon was born through David and Bathsheba, the very one that he committed adultery with. Solomon is born, and Jesus Christ came through that lineage, through David and Solomon's lineage. That's pretty good restoration. When you have that sort of sin in your life and you cry out to God, and he not only restores you, but he says, you know what? I think I'm going to bring the Savior of the world through your line. Man, that's a big God. That's a big God. We're going to spend some time with the Lord's Supper. We have a God that loves us. That lineage right through David, through Solomon, through Bathsheba, comes Jesus. And on the night he was betrayed, he's sitting around these friends who will desert him, deny knowing him, and yet he still loves them. He breaks the bread and he said, this is my body broken for you. And then he takes the cup and he blesses it. And he said, this is the blood of the new covenant poured out in my blood for you, for many, for all who believe. If you'll pray your own personal prayer of confession, we come to this table not as a perfect people, but as a redeemed people. If you'll pray your own silent prayer of confession before our holy and loving God. Thank you, Jesus, that you are a merciful and loving God. make this bread and this cup be the body and blood of Jesus for us. We pray blessing on these elements. In the name of Jesus Christ, church, you are forgiven. Amen. So the invitation the invitation comes from Christ. It's the Lord's table. It's not my table. It's not our church's table. It's the Lord's table. If you have confessed him as your Lord and Savior and you repented of your sins, you're welcome to come and be served. If you don't want to come, that's also okay. We hope that you feel welcome to come. If those who are serving will come to be served. As I said, Christ our Lord invites you to his table if you've repented of your sins and you accepted him as Lord and Savior. These two stations over here and these two stations over here, you'll be given a piece of bread, dip the bread into the cup and partake in that manner. If you want the individual elements, you can come to the center, take those back to your seat and start with the bread and consume those elements in your seat, and then you can discard the empty as you leave. Christ loves you. Come.
Your face, oh God of Jacob, oh God.
Altar, so will you, if anyone else wants to come up for some prayer time at the end, that's please come up. We'll be have people praying this morning. God wants to restore the joy of your salvation. If you're struggling, He wants to restore it. He wants to restore communion with Him. That's good news. Go and tell someone. God bless.
So give us clean hands. Give us your hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. Give us clean hands. Give us your hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. Oh God, let us be a generation.
Generation that sees.
This is Pastor Jeff Hatcher with Wiley Methodist Church in Abilene, Texas. I want to thank you for listening to this message from God's Word today. If you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, He loves you and He wants to be your friend and your Savior. If that is you, I ask you to pray this prayer with me. Lord, I confess that I am a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior and wash me as white as snow. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer today for the first time, I invite you to do four things. First of all, tell someone, share this decision with someone. We are better together than we are alone. And then also, I ask you to consider being baptized. Jesus himself set the example for us by being baptized himself, and he encourages us to do the same. And then I ask you to consider finding a Bible-believing and Bible-preaching church and plug in. Again, we are better together than alone. And then finally, I ask you to get into God's Word. It's not just because it is makes us a better person, but also because it is the living Word, and God speaks to us through His Word. The Gospel of John is a great place to begin. If I can help you be of any sort of assistance through this process, you can contact me at my email address, jhatcher@wileymethodist.org. God bless you.